Although the greatest physical and spiritual needs in the world still exist outside of North America, it might be surprising to learn that many of the least reached places and unreached people groups exist here within North America. It is estimated that 180 unreached people groups have migrated to Canada, and 360 unreached people groups have migrated to the United States. This places the U.S. among the top three nations that contain the most unreached people groups. Minneapolis, Seattle, and Columbus are home to well over 100,000 Somalis. Arabs, Sikhs, Kurds are living in places like Montreal, Nashville, and Toronto. Bosnians and Arab Muslims have moved by the tens of thousands to places like St. Louis and Detroit. More than 10,000 Hmong people from Southeast Asia now call Hickory home. Something is wrong when we are willing to make great sacrifices to travel the world to reach a people group, but we're not willing to walk across the street. The Great Commission has no geographic boundaries. A key to reaching them over there is reaching them over here. A key to reaching them over here is reaching them over there. Because our Sovereign Lord has brought the nations to our cities, our towns, and our communities.
1998, we arrived in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, following the Lord's call. That was almost 19 years ago. We were ready to serve. We had a lot to learn, but we were excited about what God had called us to do. And over the next 18 years, He used us as we learned the language, we preached the gospel, we saw many Cambodians come to Christ and follow Him in baptism. We also saw two churches established and placed under national leadership. This is Yim Sororn. He became pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Phnom Penh. This was one of our main works. And out of that, Sakchia sent out a Faith Baptist Church to Dakeo, about 50 miles south of Phnom Penh, to start Love Baptist Church. We are so thankful for these two national leaders. We gained practical experience, not only in the city, but also in the province, working with children. And we were able to help this church that didn't have a pastor at the time. We did leadership training. We loved coming alongside these pastors to encourage them. After a while, it was evident that these two churches were becoming more and more independent. I really believe that the missionary task is to work ourselves out of a job. So we allowed these two national leaders to take full responsibility for their work. It was during this time that we became increasingly aware of the need for ministry among the nearly 300,000 Cambodians living in the U.S. On furlough, we would have pastors and believers approach us for help. They would meet Cambodians on visitation, at work, in nail salons, but were unable to communicate with them or share the gospel. There was a pastor in Virginia who asked us to come to their church. This young boy attended their Christian school, but it was difficult for the church to communicate with his unsaved parents. So we were thrilled to be able to meet Nguyen and speak with him in Cambodian. With our knowledge of the Khmer language and culture, we could see that we were uniquely qualified to share Christ with the Khmer communities of the U.S. And we sensed that God was calling us back. So we packed up our belongings. We said goodbye to the people that we had come to love, and we commended them to the Lord as we prepared for our next step. No, this is not Cambodia. It's actually the largest Cambodian Buddhist temple in the U.S., located in Hampton, Minnesota. By the time we arrived in the U.S., we had chosen six potential locations for ministry among Cambodians. Last fall, we began a four-week survey trip to each of these cities, visiting Asian markets, Cambodian associations, restaurants, temples. And knowing the language, we felt very comfortable entering the temples and talking to the monks. This 92-year-old woman spoke no English, and she said she was spending the last years of her life serving monks in the temple, hoping that it was enough to gain merit for the next life. We met believers along the way whom we prayed with and encouraged us. One highlight was that Allison and I had the opportunity to share the gospel with this woman in Providence, Rhode Island. Towards the end of our trip, we arrived in Philadelphia. Here we discovered Cambodia Town, an area of South Philly that's home to thousands of Cambodians and other immigrant groups. As we walked down the streets and visited restaurants and the park, we saw this Cambodian Buddhist temple. We also saw that this was an area with no gospel witness to the Cambodians. The Lord began to confirm in our hearts that this is where He was calling us. We saw the need and realized that with our experience that this was a place where the Lord could really use us. And so, after spending the holidays with our families, we loaded up the truck and moved to Philadelphia. 1.5 million people, a city full of history, Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell, and home to a large population of Cambodians, over 13,000. We rented a row house in the middle of inner city Philadelphia and settled into our new mission field. Not long after our arrival, we heard that the Cambodians in the city were planning to get together to celebrate Khmer New Year. This is the biggest holiday on the Cambodian calendar. So we made our way to the large Buddhist temple in West Philly to see the festivities. The sounds and the smells, the crowds, this was so very exciting for us. It was almost like being back in Cambodia again. Cambodians love to celebrate with grilling meat, music, and dance. But ultimately, our hearts were burdened again for the spiritual need as we observed their prayers to the spirits for good luck for the coming year. Like all false religions, Buddhism is a system of works. These Cambodians believe that donations to the temple and the burning of incense will somehow gain merit for them in their next life. Even here, they continue to teach each generation that to be Cambodian is to be Buddhist. Their religion is so closely tied to their national identity. But the Holy Spirit can open their eyes to the truth. Our ministry has been centered around Mifflin Square, the neighborhood park in the middle of Cambodia Town. Here we've spent countless hours meeting people, eating at nearby restaurants, and we've enjoyed seeing the look of surprise as we walk through the area and speak with them in Khmer. Our goal has been to build relationships with them and for them to know who we are and why we're here. We've had so many opportunities to make friends, share the gospel, and to participate with the children's outreach in the park and visit door to door. As the opening video said, the Lord has brought these ethnic groups right to our doorstep, and I've personally spoken to many of them, some from not only from Cambodia, but from China and Laos and even Egypt and Nepal. And so as I visit, I found that I need to carry tracts in multiple languages. One day while I was out, I met an elderly lady leaving the Wat. She began pouring water on the tree and offering prayers in the hope that this small act would somehow gain favor and merit. How can you pray for us? We need a place to meet. Our vision is to have a multi-purpose building where, in addition to Bible study, we can provide other community services, after-school help for children, maybe a translation service. These buildings rent for about $1,000 a month. Please pray with us that the Lord will provide a meeting place in this area. We're also praying for more monthly support. Also, I'm currently working on a gospel presentation designed especially for Cambodian Americans that would be both in English and Khmer that can be presented digitally and in printed form. Most importantly, we want you to pray for people to come to Christ. We're so grateful that we have a good rapport with the Cambodian community, but we also want opportunities to sit down with them and make the gospel clear so that they will hear and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Be seated. I'm going to invite Brother Tim Stevens to come and open the Word of God to us. this morning. So have your Bibles ready. And Brother Stevens, you come and preach to us the Word of God.
Again, it's a privilege to be here at Mount Greylock Baptist Church. What a few weekend it's been. These few days have just been just an incredible encouragement to my wife and I, and I'm sure to these missionaries here. And Amen. We appreciate it so much. The music with Ethan's been great. We just God honoring and good music. We appreciate it so much. And for your accommodations there at your place have been, we've just enjoyed it so much. She lived during the period of the judges, and there was no king at that time. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. There was a priest, but his sons were corrupted. And Israel was in a cycle of sin, and the time of the judges, they would worship other gods. Too close here. They would find themselves following after Baal and the gods of the Philistines, and God would have to punish them and bring them into judgment by other nations, and then they would call out to the Lord again, and he would save them and send in judges, and then they would start all over again. This was the historical background of a young woman who was experiencing some problems of her own. She was part of a polygamous marriage. There was jealousy and misery and home. In addition to that, on top of all that, she was barren. It's a reproach for any Jewish woman not to have any children. This is the story of Hannah. She wasn't a queen. She wasn't the wife of anybody famous. She was just an ordinary person, but she showed extraordinary faith and obedience that changed not only her family situation, her personal life, but it also changed the course of history for Israel and brought about revival in that country. And God has commissioned us, the church, to go, to teach the gospel, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever that God has commanded us. He wants to use us, just ordinary people, to be part of this great commission. He wants to use your faith and obedience. This morning I want to use, as we've been hearing about faith promise and appreciate Brother Tom's clear message on what it means to be able to give so that we are creating a deficit in our own life so that we can fill a deficit, a spiritual deficit, in someone else's life. This is what God wants us to be able to do. You'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to use an example of this woman's faith and her commitment to the Lord, and show it how faith promise giving works. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Why don't we stand as we'll read just a few verses from this chapter. I'll begin at verse 1 and 2. I'll try to pronounce these names right, and then we'll skip down to verse 4 and 5 and on. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramath-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, and the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all of her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, probably a double portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Let's go down to verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come after about Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have lent him, I have asked him of the Lord. Father, thank you for the faith of this woman. And Lord, we want to be obedient to you, just ordinary people. We want to be used of you to spread the gospel around the world. Oh, Lord, speak to our hearts. Show us what part we can have in this. We ask in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How does the story of Hannah give us an example of faith promise? Let's look at 3 points this morning. Number one, she makes a promise to God. And number two, she receives a provision from God. And then number three, she gives her present back to God. She's asking that the Lord give her a son, and she vows to lend him or to give him to the Lord as a Nazarite. That means that no razor will come upon his head. This would be similar to what Samson had done. He couldn't drink anything from the fruit of the vine. He couldn't touch anything from the fruit of the vine. He couldn't touch any unclean thing. He would be set apart for the Lord's service. Now, does she have a son yet? No, she doesn't. She's unable to bear children, but she weeps bitterly. She comes into the Lord's house, the tabernacle at that time, and she's making this request. And Hannah vows to give something to the Lord that she does not have. Something that she would have to, that the Lord would have to give her first. This is faith promise giving. You've seen the need. I think about the Browns going to inner city Boston. I can relate to that to an extent because of what we're doing in Philadelphia. You've seen the need, and I'm not going to pretend to know all of the statistics, but I know that we've seen this week that there are 6,900 languages in the world, and just a fraction of those have God's written word. We've seen the need in Thailand. And you remember the little jar of beads that Brother Reese had, and there was 1,000 beads in there, and only 5 of them that represented the numbers of people that have come to Christ. That's the percentage. You've seen the need in the Amazon basin of Brazil. I think about those homesteaders that have come there, and people crying out to know the Lord. They're in darkness. I've seen in our own when we were in Cambodia the Buddhism, the darkness that's there. I try to go door knocking just about every day, and I have different tracks in different languages, in Spanish and Chinese, and I don't have any in Nepalese, but I need some because there's a lot of Nepalese there and Burmese, and I have some in Arabic, and even the ones that I have in English, I go to a door and he says, "Well, I'm Catholic," or "We're Muslim." And the sad thing is that Satan has blinded the minds, even of these, the people that have lived in America and they speak English. And they hold up this the religion card, as it were. And I say, well, surely you can use some of this information. These are Bible verses. And I remember one man saying, you know, we go to Mass, we go to the church, and the priest, he tells us the liturgy. And he said, the Bible, he goes, we don't even use it. That's the very power of God and the salvation is brushed aside. This is the need that we have. And it, just like Hannah sees in her world the rampant rebellion, the disregard for God's word, this is the world that we find ourselves in now. And so you've also seen the need of missionaries that need a Sunday school bus and that need to get to Thailand, and that need monthly support. They need a place to stay, a place to meet, Bibles translated and printed, starting churches, medical expenses, travel expenses, visas. So what do? You, like Hannah, you can make a commitment to the Lord for the coming year. This is not, again, like we've heard, like your pastor said, this is not your tithe. This is not something for the building, but this is something over and above the tithe to finance the spreading of the gospel around the world. How much do you give? Well, we can, like Hannah, we get alone with the Lord. We make a promise according to what He's laid on our heart. How much you can give each month, each week, and they'll be passing out these cards, and it's very clear on what you can do, what you ask the Lord. This is between you and the Lord. You'll only take this part off. You don't sign your name. But by giving that card and by making that statement, this church will be able to plan on what they can do for the coming year. This is a promise by faith to give to missions. That's something that you don't have, but you're trusting God to supply that amount. Brother Tom already mentioned, but who is it that finances world missions? Who does it? Who's the one that ultimately responsible for providing the needs for missions? Who is it? God, of course. We're just standing in line. We're just part of the plan. It's an incredible thing. Oswald Chambers, the man that wrote the devotional guide, says, "Lord, you have said it. It appears to be irrational, but I'm going to step out boldly, trusting in your word." So Hannah makes a promise to the Lord. Number two, she receives a provision from God. Verse 20, we read, she has a son. Wow. I mean, no medical reason. There's no explanation other than that God gave her a son. She called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. What a happy day it must have been. The birth of a son. God answered Hannah's prayer, and he faithfully gave her a son according to her prayer. And when you ask the Lord to give something over and above, and when you ask the Lord to help you sacrifice, to give to missions, then he promises to give as well. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one that will provide, and he wants to answer your prayer of commitment. He's looking right now to see how he can be glorified in your life through giving. The Bible said, one of the prophets said to one of the kings of Judah, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." So many testimonies of people that have made a commitment to faith promise and through the Lord by giving to missions, and then have seen the Lord provide over and over again. So here's Hannah. She receives the son. Now, it's one thing to receive the provision, but it's the next step where faith really comes in. It's actually keeping your promise to give that back to the Lord. So number three, she offers her present back to God. Look at chapter 1 there, verse 24. "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young." Now, back then, I read some commentaries say he could have been as old as two, or maybe one or two or three even. "And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord.' And he worshiped the Lord there." Hannah was determined to make good on her promise. She packed up his little suitcase and brought him down to Shiloh. Kissed him goodbye. I think of Maddie Malachuk. How old is he? Almost 2 years? I couldn't imagine, but that's what it would have been like. Her parents, his parents, packing up his suitcase and sending him off to Springfield, Massachusetts, or Boston. And he's not going to live with you anymore. That's what Hannah had to do. She left him with Eli, the priest. "You remember me?" he said. "There's my son. I was here last year, and now here I am. Take my son." Oh, to have that kind of faith. To recognize that God has acted on your commitment, and now you turn right around and you willfully, willingly return that provision back to him. My, what faith. I'm so glad to hear Brother Tom preaching from Philippians 4. I've just recently, in the other business conferences that we've been in, I've heard other men preach from that, and it's a very concise, and it's just, and I'm not going to go over what he said. I'm just glad he went over it, because here's the Philippians who had been supporting Paul, and their care of them was interrupted for a little bit, and now they're communicating with him, they're giving to him, and they're meeting his necessity over and over again. And here's Hannah. She comes back. It doesn't say that it was difficult, but I can't imagine a mother's heart for her to be able to give this 1 or 2 year old child up. And when you fill out this card for whatever amount it might be, and what's this? This is November And then through the coming year, the beginning of the next year, January, February, there might be some challenges, like your pastor said. And that's where the faith comes in. There might be a layoff. You might be holding this card in one hand and a medical bill in the other. But God is faithful. He will provide. Maybe there's a flood, a hurricane. My mother has lived in north of Houston for the last 40 years. My father passed away about 10 years ago. My mom's been a believer a long time. She's faithful in church. Faithful to give to us and our missions and our ministry. And Hurricane Harvey came through. I can't remember. It seems like a long time ago now. That house never flooded for 40 years until that hurricane came. And she lost everything on the bottom story of her floor. All the furniture, they were trying to predict how high the water would go up, so they put everything on the dining room table. She played the harp. She lost the harp. They had to tear out all the sheetrock. They're just now rewiring the house, just now. And, of course, we've been in good contact with her, and the thing is, she's still supporting us. Faithful. I said, Mom, make sure you take care of yourself. And she says, God is taking care of me. She says, We're anxious to see what he's going to do next. Wow. Perform the doing of it. Give it to the Lord's work. And step back and watch him work. See, you've created a legitimate need in your life because you're giving to missionaries. I think about, and let me just use this as an example, these homesteaders there in the Amazon basin without Christ. And I've never been there. I don't know what it's like. I was asking the Brewers about what that would be like, and people from all over Brazil that are there, and some of them Mormons, some of them that have never heard the gospel, some of them that they're crying out, as it were, Lord, send somebody our way. Tell us the gospel. There's a need in their life. Tom and Cindy Brewer answered that call, and they said, you know, we're going to leave everything. We're going to leave the U.S. and we're going to go live there. And now they're serving full-time there. And now they have a deficit in their life. They have a financial need. They need transportation. They need. They started those five churches. They want to probably start a sixth. There's a need in these places with these outreaches, this literature, these buildings that have to be built. And they say, Mount Greylock Baptist Church, can you help us? So, Mount Greylock says, yes, we'll help you. Now, you are sacrificially giving to the Brewers who are trying now going to the Amazon basin, and now the Brewers are saying, well, we're full, just like we heard. We have everything, and we're able to live here, and we're taking, not that they don't need some more support now, but I'm saying they're able to do the work that God's given them to do, and now you're here at Mount Greylock Baptist Church, you're saying, now we have a deficit. We've sacrificially given. Who's going to take care of us? And that's where verse 19 of Philippians 4 comes in. For my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory. That's where it comes back in. And now the Brazilians are saying, praise the Lord for his supply, for sending the Brewers here now that we can hear the gospel. Carmelo, I think there was some of the names I was trying to remember there. Now they're serving the Lord there. And now the Brewers are saying, yes, thank you, Lord, for supplying our need so that we can live there and continue to live and serve and reach out to more Brazilians and start more churches. Lord, you've supplied our need. And now Mount Greylock Baptist Church is saying, Lord, thank you. You've supplied our need as well. Yeah. See, God wants the glory. He wants the credit for all of it. I love that example of giving. I'd wanted to do that before. I'd never had done it. But the fact that that's pretty realistic right there. Where somebody wants to give to missions, they don't have it, but God provides it, and they send it on. And God continues. He wants to give to people like that. When you supply your need and you sacrifice, and you send the Brewers on their way, they can live and preach. They're funded, the Brazilians get saved, and then the Lord supplies your need. God wants you in on this plan. You want to be in on this plan. And he promises to provide for you, to make up for the deficit that you have. All right, Ken, I'm almost done. Now, here, I want you to turn. We've got one more verse. Look at this. Hannah says, as long as he liveth, he will be lent to the Lord. That doesn't mean that he's going to borrow him. He's going to come back later and get him. But it means that his service to the Lord, I'm just going to give him to the Lord. And she does visit him, of course, from time to time. We'll see later. But she lends him to the Lord. Now, I want you to turn. I want you to look at a verse real quick. Proverbs 19:17. We're almost done. Proverbs 19:17. Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. Now, missionaries, that doesn't mean they're destitute. Doesn't mean that they hadn't even had to go out and beg. But it means that they have put themselves in a position of needing funds that they couldn't normally get most of the way that most people earn money. And so, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. Now, when you give to missionaries, think of it this way. When you are gracious to the missionaries, to people who are surrendered to full-time service, living day to day, sometimes there's no congregation to support them, and you give to them and you sacrifice for them, God says, I'm borrowing money from you, basically. Man. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Wow. God says you're lending, and he says, I'm going to pay you back. I think of the time when Jesus was on the earth, how many things he had to borrow. Boats, donkeys, the boy with his lunch. Hey, is it all right if I borrow your lunch there, son? Okay. I promise I'll pay you back. And boy, does he. Listen, you can't outgive the Lord. The story of Hannah, turn back now. We'll look back to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. Did he pay Hannah back?
Yeah.
Let's look. Chapter 2. Verse 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. Well, wait a minute. She didn't ask. She only asked for 1 son. And she gave him back to the Lord. But the Lord visited Hannah. And now she has 3 more sons and 2 daughters. And not only that, Samuel grew. She didn't realize at that time what Samuel was going to what was going to happen. She had no idea that her faith and her obedience would result in her son becoming one of the great judges and priests and prophets in Israel, whose word would never fall to the ground. Later we read that because of Samuel's ministry, Israel had revival. They turned from their hearts from the gods of Ashtaroth, and they turned to the Lord only. Of course, he would anoint King David. Listen, sometimes we don't know what's going to happen with our faith promise offering. It seems like it's a small thing. We may not see it in this life, but he will bless us and he'll reward us. And sometimes rewards in this life, but mostly in heaven. And when your faith grows, as your faith commitment card says here, when your faith is increased, that we may be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. You want to do more than just what you're doing now. And just as Samuel grew and Hannah went to visit him and his physically grew and she had to increase the size of his coat, God wants to increase your faith as well. And when your faith grows, the gospel can go farther. And so faith promise works over here and over there. Jesus is saying, hey, can I borrow some money for missions? Are you willing to trust him for something that you don't have so that you can give it to him to spread the gospel? Father, thank you so much for allowing us, just ordinary people, to have a part in spreading the gospel. Lord, really, we have nothing. We have nothing to offer. But you've allowed us to be in this plan, in this cycle of giving and receiving. And not that the missionaries receive, not that we, the church is giving and we receive, but the fact that the churches continue to receive from you. We ask, Lord, that you would just, there's some here that need to first give themselves to you. I pray, Lord, that you would open this altar, let them come to put themselves in the offering plate, as it were. And then, Lord, as you're touching hearts to how much people should give, I pray that you'd make that clear. Thank you, Father. This is just between the members and you. So I pray that you would let them know clearly what you want them to do, Father. We ask in your name. Let's stand and have a time of invitation. Whatever the Lord's leading on your heart, we'll, I know, just be obedient to what he has for you tonight, Pastor.
Bibles at, while you're standing, quickly back up to that passage, 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. I really appreciated the message this morning. I want to make sure I got these 3 points down. I want you to think about these for a minute before we sing our hymn of invitation. I want you to bear with me. Got a wonderful meal plan in just a minute. But as Brother Stevens was preaching this morning about this text, the Lord spoke to my heart about 2 things that we find here as well that lend it themselves to what he preached to us. So the message this morning, there were the 3 points. There was the promise. Amen? Yes. Secondly, there was the presentation. And thirdly, there was the provision. And thirdly, there was the presentation. And it's a wonderful story in the Bible. And Hannah had so wanted a child. I mean, she just wanted a child. And we saw at the end of the message how the Lord rewarded her. But the Lord rewarded her after she gave her child back to him. Amen? Follow me? But I noticed this in chapter 2 and verse 1. Would you just look there real quickly? The Bible says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. So that was my 4th P to his message, the praise. When you get involved in Faith Promise Mission, there's a praise. When you read the missionary letters on the back wall and you see what's happening in Brazil and you see what's happening in Cambodia or in Philadelphia now, or you see what's happening in England, or you see what's happening in Ecuador, and you see what's happening wherever. When we pray on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, what we do is we rotate 10 missionaries each week, and we pray for those. So we pray for those missionaries, and if you're involved, then you, like Hannah, can just praise the Lord, I had a part in that.
Yeah.
And then Brother Brewer, in his Sunday school class, he spoke to my heart. This is the only church I've pastored, and I've always thought, I've never started a church. But then I thought, yeah, I've started churches all over the world.
That's right. Yeah.
And you've started churches all over the world.
Glory. Yeah, that's good.
I never thought of it that way. So there's a praise there. There's a rejoicing there. I don't know when the Brewers were here last. 5, 6 years ago, maybe more? Was it 2006? Was there a time in between? I remember we had breakfast at Linda's Cafe. You still smell like Linda's Cafe. No. That's a local joke. Linda's has got great food, but you smell like Linda's for the rest of the day. But we hadn't seen them in all that time. It was like they were just here a week ago.
That's right.
It's a wonderful thing. But let me give you the first point to the message. And now look in chapter 1. And look, if you would, in verse 2. The Bible says, and he had 2 wives, and the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up to the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6 is my first P to the message, and that's persecution. And her adversary, that would be Peninnah, her adversary provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut her womb. Peninnah had children, and she became an adversary to Hannah. She made Hannah fret. Ha, Hannah, the Lord's forgotten you. The Lord doesn't care about you. But Hannah was a woman of faith. What I'm saying this morning is there is an adversary that even now is working on your heart. You can't give to Faith Promise Missions. You don't have enough to... That's how Satan works.
That's good, preacher.
There will always be persecution. There will always be an adversary to doing what God wants you to do. Because what we're talking about these last days, and really every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night, is the battle for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. It's a real battle with real casualties, with people dying and going to hell. And we have an adversary, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he will do anything he can to stop you from witnessing, to stop you from being involved in worldwide missions, to stop you from coming to church, to stop you from reading your Bible, to stop you. Listen, you may be here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior. He wants to blind you to the truth. We heard a wonderful message last night out of Isaiah chapter 6. We must first recognize who Jesus is. We must recognize who we are. So let me say this. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, that's the first thing you must do.
Amen.
You must be born again. Amen. You must recognize these missionaries are going to wherever they're going, whether it's these two or the others that we support or those that we don't support. They're going to tell men and women, boys and girls, that they are lost. They are dying. And they're going to hell. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you are lost. You are going to die and you are going to go to hell unless you receive Jesus as your Savior. But the good news is Jesus loves you.
Amen.
The good news is Jesus hung on a cross for you 2,000 years ago, and he allowed his hands to be nailed to that cross, and he allowed his feet to be nailed to that cross. And while he hung on that cross, knowing everything about you, even though you had never yet lived, knowing all of your sin, knowing all about your life, Jesus says, I love you. I care about you. And if you'll just place your faith in me and understand that I am hanging here, dying and paying for your sin, if you'll place your trust and faith in me and accept me as your Savior, I'll save you.
Amen.
He will do for you what you can never do for yourself. He did for me what I could never do for myself.
Right.
It wasn't about my religion. It wasn't about my own efforts. It wasn't about anything that I could. I had nothing and you have nothing to offer Jesus. But he has eternity to offer for you. So if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, we're going to bow our heads right now. Every head bowed, if you would, please, and every eye closed. If you've just understood what I've said, and simply as I can say, you must admit in your heart, between you and the Lord, you must admit that you're a sinner. We're born into this world as sinners. The people who are born in Brazil, they're born into Brazil as Brazilians. The people who are born in Cambodia, they were born into Cambodia as Cambodians. People who were born into the United States were born as Americans. But spiritually speaking, every single one of us were born into this world with a sinful nature. Every one of us. And Jesus says, if you'll admit that you're a sinner, you have that sinful nature, and if you'll believe that I've come to die and pay for your sin, if you'll believe that by faith, and you'll call upon me, In a simple prayer, Lord, I admit to you I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died and you paid for my sin, and today I call upon you to be my Savior. You can do that right now, right where you stand, right in your heart. Call out to him now. Lord, I am a sinner. I believe, Jesus, you died for my sin, and now I'm asking you to be my Savior. Right now. This morning, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, would you do this? If you just prayed and asked Christ to be your Savior, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to ask you to do anything but this. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. No one's looking. But I'd like to be praying for you to continue to grow in the faith. If you prayed that this morning, you became a child of God. If you understood that and you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that's what it means to be born again. Would you just, if that was you, just slip up your hand quickly and put it down that I might see. Yes, Pastor, today I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand as well. You can put it down. Thank you for showing that hand to me. I'm going to be praying for you. Anyone else, I've asked Jesus this morning into my heart to be my Savior. I've never really heard it so simple. That's faith. That's faith promise. You've put faith in Jesus and he's promised to save you. And I want you to know this morning, if you've asked Christ to be your Savior, as two have, that you're amongst friends. In fact, as we heard earlier, you're amongst family now. It's the family of God. And now I want to just, as we finish up this invitation, draw my attention back to you and I as believers, who for some of us, it was not too many months ago perhaps, maybe it was just a few years ago, maybe it was many years ago, we receive Christ as our Savior. And now this morning as believers, we're talking about taking the message that saved us and taking that message to a lost and dying world. And part of that is through missions. There's going to be an adversary. There's going to be a persecutor who's going to convince you that you just can't be involved in that. That's the spiritual battle. Just as Hannah had a persecutor who made her fret, that word fret, to just be concerned and to worry. But Hannah was a woman of faith. And she made a promise. God provided. She presented that back to the Lord. And then she just praised the Lord. How about you this morning? I challenged the church last night. If you have never been involved in the Faith Promise missions, why don't you adopt a missionary? And what I meant by that was, I'm going to step out by faith, and I'm going to support one missionary per month. That would be $17.50 a week. Wow, I don't know if I could... You're trusting God. You're trusting God. And I said, you can adopt any missionary you like. I won't even tell you which one. You got 41 to choose from. You could do one a month. You could do a different one a month. However you see fit. Father, thank you for those two this morning who cried out to you and asked Jesus to be their Savior. Help them to grow in their faith and help us, as now their brothers and sisters in Christ, to love them, to encourage them, to be there for them. And now, Lord, in these next several minutes, as we receive this faith promise for 2018, I hope and pray, Lord, that people have been praying and asking and seeking your guidance and your direction. Help us to block out the calls, the cries of the adversary that convinces us that this is not possible. We're reminded that with man things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.